Welcome to The Odds Couple, a presentation of ESPN Chicago. The Odds Couple is brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas. The Odds Couple. Here's your hosts, Mike North and Carmen DeFalco.
Welcome into this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Mike and Carmen with you. We roll into Final Four weekend, men's and women's, and we got a lot to get after. Baseball, basketball, maybe we'll sneak in a little football win totals too. But we're going to have all the usual fun. And Mike, we got a good Final Four on tap. And I got to be honest, I'm kind of hoping for a UConn-Purdue matchup on Monday night because I think that would be fantastic. But we'll break down both of the games, and I think we're in store for a good day tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Carmen, hi, everybody, and hi to Carmen DeFalco, my pal, and, of course, the great Eric Ostrowski, our producer, getting it done, 5 years on this scene, getting it done, breaking down tournament action. We've always been strong, no matter what kind of sport you're talking about, when it comes to postseason play. 2-1 last week as a crew.
Yep.
And I went 2-0, and
yes,
then I'm bold. With the bonus pick, if it wasn't for Rudy Gobert, I'd be like 5-0 my last 5 weeks because Purdue just destroyed them last week. Listen, today at 147, I'm very happy with the start. And if you're following baseball, ladies and gentlemen, I've made some great calls on this show. We've all made some great calls on this show. But if the Pirates can do what I think they were capable of doing.
Wow.
I said last week on the show I gave out my totals over 76. Now, I'm not jumping the gun. It's the Pirates, okay? The next thing you know, they're playing ball like they have two patches over their eyes, okay?
Right.
forget about that. And they're doing great. The Tigers, another crew I picked at over 81.
Yes, excellent.
They're doing great, Carm, like that one. The Cardinals come back last night. I got them at 84. The Cubs at 84.5. It's gold right now. As if they could play Colorado for the rest of their lives.
I was going to say, yeah, can you play the Rockies?
Yeah, but there's people saying, can you play the White Sox?
There are. The Royals just got a taste of that.
Oh, my God. And then we got the Angels, the only one that might have fooled me. I said to Carmen last week, I said, Carm. Carm said, yeah. I said, hey. 72.5. They won 73 last year with Ohtani. And Trout's going to break down. Well,
yeah.
Ohtani's gone, and Trout all of a sudden becomes Trout from 4 years ago. But there's still plenty of time. But I'm happy with those picks, and we'll give you some golf and some hoops. Are you kidding me? It's crazy.
It's good times. Yeah, I know. And the baseball picks look good so far. Good start for a lot of ours. Masters is a week away, and we got Final Four this weekend, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
How about they're crying, DeChambeau crying? Let me tell you something. I don't care how much money you make in your life. How much money do you need? Now you're worried about the fans because you went over there, and now you got buyer's remorse because nobody knows who you are anymore?
I don't even know. Is that right? I don't even know about this. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. And Rory's saying, well, the ratings are down a fifth of what they used to be, and this has got to be solved. Well, Monahan screwed that whole thing up because he thought Liv was going to be something. Nobody knows if Brooks Koepka's still alive. They hurt their brand. The PGA is still the boss, but there's no doubt it's weakened them. You see players that would never be winning tournaments if you had your Rahms and your guys like that. It would never be happening. Scheffler wouldn't be the only guy we're talking about. You've seen guys like, we'll talk to Luke later, there were 100-1s getting it done.
You know, they the Liv guys did pretty well at the majors for the most part last year. How do you think they'll do next week at the Masters?
Well, it'll be nice to see them again.
That's true.
I think that's what's bothering DeChambeau. I think they got the money, but Rory knows the ratings are hurting, and in the other side, it's a brand. Brooks Koepka's a brand. He was doing Michelob commercials.
Oh, sure.
Now you can't find him. And then they want to stay. They're finding out their endorsements because of being tied in with the Saudi Live Tour and with an unlikable man like Greg Norman. They're not getting the endorsements. Who wants to see Bryson DeChambeau, who left the PGA? They don't need the money, they think. Okay.
Well, I wouldn't think so, considering what they were paid to go over there. I mean,
but their brands are just they miss the ego part of it.
Yeah, that could be.
I haven't seen a Live golfer in months. Except if you turn on WGN by accident, then the TV's awful.
Right. Yeah, I've got to be honest. I don't watch any of their events.
I watch more than all. And I did live.
and we watched absolutely zero DePaul basketball.
Zero. I saw it run out one time, funny. And I said, we're going to get killed, and I changed the channel.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into Final Four action. We're gonna
I
break
love
down,
when we jump into things.
Let's do it. We're going to break down both games, maybe touch on some of the women's action tonight, too. I got to be honest, I've loved watching Caitlin Clark and Iowa. I thought that game Monday night between Iowa and LSU was fantastic.
You know,
I mean, she's
I
worth the price of admission, Mike.
Oh, listen, I coach women's basketball, and I don't care. I'm going to just say it. I never thought a woman could ever shoot that kind of way.
She's
ever.
Incredible.
Yeah. I just got to be careful with our terminology. Carmen said something I said in the 90s and 80s and 70s. We got to touch on some of the woman's action. Now it means talking about betting. Who would have thought that?
Exactly.
We used to beg for a line for Nancy Lieberman and Ann Drysdale. You know what I mean? And they didn't even know what it was. So Caitlin Clark and... Oh, and by the way, the poor victim, Angel Reese, you know, that whole thing. You want to be with the big boys, and then you get there and you can't take it? Believe me, I got more welts than Jake LaMotta on my face from the barrage I've taken. You got to be able to handle it if you want to play with the big boys.
It kind of sucks that these people, that athletes today, or anybody, I mean, and I know what you're saying. Like, we've all taken it. We've all seen it. If you're a somewhat public figure, you know, you're going to get it sometimes on social media. It just does suck, like the vitriol that sort of exists
well,
in social media, you know?
Front of your face. Caitlin Clark never even did it to him. She did it to somebody else, and then she followed Caitlin Clark all over. But I just said it on Twitter the other day. Whether you're talking Navratilova and Everett, whether you're talking Magic Johnson and Bird, any of those people, Reese and Clark were at the top just with those people, and that's a compliment.
Yeah.
Just take the hit and quit blaming them.
They've been great, and it was fun to watch Monday night. All right, let's talk. Let's start with the first game on Saturday. We'll get into NC State and Purdue, and NC State's the darling right now is an 11 seed, the first team ever, Mike, with 14-plus losses to make a Final Four. Wolfpack have ripped off 9 straight wins, obviously, since the start of the ACC tournament. They're 7-2 against the number in those games, but they're running into a Purdue team that kind of reminds, I think, a lot of us of Virginia a few years ago. Embarrassed last year, getting knocked out as a 1 seed, and storming now into the Final Four as 8.5-point favorites. They are 4-0 straight up, obviously, and against the number, more impressively, in the tournament so far, 10-0 straight up. 8-1-1 against the spread against top 25 teams this season. Think about that, Mike. This Purdue team has victories, and in some cases here, multiple victories against Gonzaga, Tennessee, Marquette, Illinois, Alabama, Arizona, and Wisconsin. That's amazing to go 8-1-1 against the number when you're laying a lot of points as a favorite, even against top 25 teams.
North Carolina State's got one thing going for them. They got an Irish point guard. Period. O'Donnell. No, I
that
love
always
North
helps.
I love the North Carolina State story.
Yeah.
But turn out the lights. The party's over. I believe that Edie's on a mission.
I think you're right.
I think that the disrespect they're taking, that it's already being handed to UConn, is resonating in the Purdue locker room. You have one of the great big men in the history of the game in Edie. And then you got the best three-point shooting team with Purdue. And they got to hear that UConn, okay, granted, they've been unbelievable, but I think they're going to destroy North Carolina State. I don't think that, you know, people have been talking about the big kid underneath. I love him, Burns. But
yes,
you know
DJ
what?
Burns, yep.
But I'll tell you what, he is never going to see anything like he's going to see. Everybody seems like, you know, oh, my God, Burns. Well, wait till he sees Edie.
Yep.
That's the point.
I think you're right. They look like, and he especially looks like he's on a mission.
I've been waiting for him to fall apart. I thought they were going to lose to Texas Tech or whoever they were playing at first, you know? I forget who they played to start off with. And they won.
I can't remember who the first game was now.
I think it was wasn't it Texas Tech?
That was, hold on, I'll get there.
Was that somebody else? I get everything mixed up now.
It's hard to remember 2 weeks ago. Can you imagine?
Hard to remember yesterday.
Game one was, I want to say, who was it? Was it Grambling?
They played Grand Canyon? No, they didn't play Grand Canyon.
It was Grambling. Their first game was Grambling. Yes. The second game was Utah State. And that's the one some people thought might actually trip them up. They beat the snot out of Utah State.
Team then, because I will tell you this. I just think being 9-0, they're not the same team that they were, you know, before the tournament started, going through the tournament and then playing in the NCAAs. But I think it's going to end here.
I think they're incredible. Alabama, by the way, has played Grand Canyon.
That's
if that was
it.
What you were thinking of.
Alabama
played Grand Canyon.
I thought they were going to lose to Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Alabama is a team I asked Carmen about last week. He sort of hurt my feelings at the time. I didn't say nothing to him in the kitchen when he said – I go, how about Alabama? And he goes, yeah, and there's some other teams that are. He just went over it a little bit. He really disregarded Alabama like everybody else did, including me.
And now here they are as a four seed. And we'll get to that game in a little bit.
I love when we wait on it.
I think you make good points about Zach Edey and Purdue. They do look like they're on a mission. Edey's been incredible. Six games since the start of the Big Ten tournament, Mike. He's averaging nearly 30 points and 15 rebounds a game. So when you say he's up there in what some of the great big men have ever done at the college level, I think you're right. That's
you know
the kind of year it's been.
He's the chief in cuckoo's nest with Tampa.
He is.
That makes
Remember a lot
of chief?
Sense. Of course. Juicy
Remember
fruit.
Remember when he held? He cut the net
juicy
down.
Juicy fruit.
He cut the net down without a ladder. That's what the chief does.
That's right.
The chief grabs the net when they make a basket, and then he kicks it back out, if you remember. I love his attitude. I think he's mad that they're overlooked even now.
I think you're right. You can just see it. And here's the thing.
He starts swearing on the mic in front of a live audience, you know?
Here's the thing I really respect out of Zach Edey. The pure numbers have been incredible. He's playing over 30 minutes a game. You don't have to take him off the floor late in games because he can actually shoot free throws. I mean, he's not great, but he's a 71% free throw shooter for his career. So he's capable. That's the wonderful thing. He plays almost the whole game. It's incredible. And he looks like
he was clawed by a panther.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got claw marks all over him because, oh, you know what? How do you rep Z?
How do you officiate him?
They're putting a forearm in his back and they're letting him get away with it for a while, but you just can't keep doing that. He's just a freak, and he's a great player.
Yeah, he's great. All right, we'll get to Alabama and UConn a little bit. We're going to talk to Luke Pergandy coming up next. You know, we're a week away from the Masters. It's a great time to be on Prop Swap. So we'll talk to Luke. We got Jim Miller with Ponies a little bit later on, and we'll give you some best plays rolling into Final Four weekend. So don't go anywhere, folks. We're just getting warmed up. It's Mike and Carmen. We are the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
You're listening to The Odds Couple
with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North
on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Mike North, Carmen DeFalco. Every week, catch up on demand, anytime, anywhere, with the ESPN Chicago app. That's all you need to listen. You'll get the encore replay on Saturday. All right, let's bring in one of our weekly contributors and one of our favorite guests. We love talking to him. Big weekend over at PropSwap.com and the PropSwap app. That's a free app. Make sure you have it. You can start buying and selling tickets immediately. One of the founding members joins us every week on the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline. It's Luke Pergandy.
Oh, Luke, he's ready to rock.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
I'm Mike.
We got another 11 seed making it. You know, we talk about this. It's what the site was sort of made for, and if somebody had enough foresight to just grab a ticket at some point here a month ago on NC State, God bless you, because they were a bubble team until the ACC tournament started. Probably would not have gotten in. And now they've ripped off seven straight, Luke, and, you know, they're the only 14-loss team to ever make it this far. But as an 11 seed, it's given anybody who had a ticket on NC State an opportunity to really cash in.
Yeah. No, I think the phenomenon of just teams getting hot is just a crazy phenomenon in sports. Like, this team just figured it out over the last 4 weeks of their season. And when you're on, you're on. It's like logic can't really explain it. And this team doesn't really have the talent besides maybe Burns or Horn to compete. Obviously knocking off Duke last weekend, but when you're feeling it, you're feeling it. And NC State is doing that. So they got a big test, obviously playing Purdue, about a 10-point underdog, but I think they can push him. Obviously, you got someone that can match up with Edey, which is kind of step number one to competing against Purdue, is just have a big guy that could contain him. I'm sure he's going to get his. He'll have at least 20, 25 points, but, you know, you got a guy that can hopefully keep him just outside of the glass and maybe snag a few rebounds instead of him. So it's going to be fun. I think a couple strategies, just one strategy I wanted to talk about is if NC State jumps out to a lead, go look at Bama and UConn futures, because the value of those will go up if NC State can pull off an upset. So if you have one of those futures and you're looking to sell, if NC State jumps out early, your Bama and UConn futures will increase in value. So if you have one to sell, great, come to us. But if you'd like to buy one that maybe the price is, stale, that, we got We have a Bama ticket at odds of 18-1 right now. They are 13-1 at FanDuel. So, you know, you can grab that now and then flip it if NC State jumps out to a lead for, you know, probably double what you paid.
That's a great point.
Yeah, let's talk about Caitlin Clark for a minute, what she's done for, you know, they talk about the ratings. Well, next year we'll check Iowa's ratings, so there'll be birds flying in the arena when she's gone. You know what I'm saying? But what she's done for betting and what she's done for the overall woman's game, Luke, I remember begging, and I still am, for college to put the lines up of women's basketball all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I grew up in an era where they only put the title game up. Where do her prop bets stand with some of the guys back in the day, especially some of the college players? It's got to be up there with them because she's really the only game in town. I know UConn's a team type of concept, and you got some players there, but isn't she? She's a freak of nature, and this has really got to propel women's basketball, but also will it propel betting on women's basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Iowa-LSU Elite Eight game was the most watched women's sport ever.
I think it was the most watched professional. I think it was the most watched college basketball game, men or women, if I'm not mistaken, in ESPN history. I think it was it was the most viewers ESPN has ever had for a college basketball game, men or women. It was like 12.5 million people.
Yeah. You're bringing in a lot of women.
Obviously, in fairness, they've never had the tournament.
Well, that's true, of course. Right. That's a CBS. That's a good point. They've never had tournament games. That's a CBS property. Yeah. You're right. But still, like a Duke North Carolina game. Think about that. Like, it was the most watched ever.
Yeah. No, it's incredible. And you know, I love kind of the remarks she'll have after the game. It's like, Gino didn't even recruit me. He didn't even talk to my family, the head coach of UConn, and, you know, I love she's
awesome.
Playing with a vengeance.
It's awesome.
That's going to be that game is tonight, right?
That's
Friday
tonight.
Night.
Yes, that's tonight. Yeah. Do you guys see do you guys see action on that too, Luke? Like Mike said, I mean, are people getting more and more into it, or is it still sort of...
The prop bet's got to be going crazy for her.
There are, yes. So if you look at, like, FanDuel sites, obviously we don't make our own bets. You have to have an existing bet and then sell it with us. But if you look at FanDuel's website, I mean, they have Caitlin Clark points, Caitlin Clark assists, Caitlin Clark rebounds. They have so many different prop bets that you can bet on her. We haven't seen any women's Final Four bets get posted yet on Prop Talk.
Okay.
We're pretty correlated with the primary market. So, you know, it's like a 70-75% correlation of whatever gets bet at the primary market, a.k.a. FanDuel, DraftKings, typically is correlated to what gets sold on prop shops. We haven't seen a ton yet, but regardless, like what she's done for the sport, and it's just been incredible. She's made so many college athletes money because of these TV deals. Like, just it's a nationwide impact. It's not just University of Iowa impact.
Yeah, no, you're right. Before we let you go, Masters next week, huge for you guys. I know you're looking forward to it. Any tips? Any advice? Any golfers? Maybe like you just want to give out is like, hey, take a you know, a longer shot here, see if Thursday goes well, if Friday goes well, and then sell it.
Yeah, so obviously with us, if you buy the Masters ticket on PropSwap, it's one click of a button to resell it.
Yep.
So yeah, as we always talk about, these golfers, it's just so difficult to hold a lead from Thursday to Sunday, and probably the most difficult tournament of the year to hold a lead is the Masters.
Yeah.
There's just so much pressure on it. So, get in early. Next time we talk, we'll be, you know, be almost – halfway through the second round of the Masters next week. So, you know, my advice would just be get in now. Take, you know, 5 to 6 golfers that you like. If you can grab them on PropSwap, great. And then you can be selling them. You know, if you get a guy at 25-1, you can be selling them, you know, going into Friday. So I was looking. We have Rory about 15-1. I love this Thigala kid.
Yeah, I do too.
You can get him at like 50-1 and then flip that if he has a nice, you know, Thursday, Friday. Of course, Wyndham Clark, U.S. Open winner last year. And then, you know, what do you do with Scheffler? Like, he's going to be in the mix.
I'm sorry, guys.
So
Rory's a beaten favorite.
Say don't pick the guy. Like, you got
Rory's
him.
A beaten favorite.
If you want a low number, just grab it.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it. He's a beaten favorite. I mean, he's favored over everybody.
Well, no, I think I think
Scheffler's the
guy, favorite.
Right?
Yeah,
and then of course Rahm.
Yes, Rahm will be up there, absolutely defending champ. Yeah,
But Rory gets all the coverage on Golf.
He gets a lot of it. Yeah. You're not kidding.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of it. All right, Luke, enjoy the weekend and enjoy the rest of this tournament here. We got three games to go, obviously. Should be fun. And then we'll catch up on some other stuff and talk Masters next week when we see you next Friday, okay?
Sounds good, guys.
All right, buddy.
Oh, Rory,
I'm sick of him. I love it. There's Luke Ferghandi. Follow him on X and on Instagram.
That golf, so funny. You think he's the number one golfer in the world.
Yeah.
He's got a three-game look, I love the guy. I hope he wins every tournament.
Well, he's still looking for the slam, right? The Masters is the one he's missed.
It just seems he's got one bad round in him.
I know. And, Mike, like, can you believe it's been 10 years since he won a major?
Right. He's got such a great game.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Spieth, though. I looked at that scorecard yesterday. What are you, me? I mean, he had like five bogeys, but he had five birdies. I mean, overthinking. Just go up, play like you did when you were younger, man. You're asking the caddy this. You're asking the caddy that. Where was he?
And you wonder at some point, will he complete that slam? He's still missing the Masters.
Yeah.
And he finished second a couple years ago. But
he's flying to other places to get golf instructions. Rory and Spieth and all these guys. Come on.
Mm.
Go back to when you were. Boom. You showed up.
And you know he wants it badly.
Oh, come on. I hope
considering
he gets
everything
it,
that's
man.
Happened. I know. All right, coming up next, we're going to dive into Alabama and UConn. We already gave you a little NC State-Purdue breakdown. We'll get after the second game. Maybe sneak in some NBA. I got a couple thoughts I wanted to throw at Mike as we enter the home stretch of the NBA season here. Jim Miller's coming up a little bit later with ponies, and we'll give you our best bets rolling into the weekend. We're coming right back. We are the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
This is the Odds Couple with Chicago radio legend Mike North and midday host Carmen DeFalco. The Odds Couple
on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Follow us on Twitter. Mike's at North to North. That's the number two. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. And remember, just catch up on demand all the time with the ESPN Chicago app. All right, let's get into Alabama and UConn. We talked earlier about NC State and Purdue. Mike and I both think Purdue's going to show out in this game. I think we're on a collision course for Purdue.
They're
and UConn.
They're getting a lot of points.
They are. I think Purdue and UConn have been probably the two best teams all year. Maybe you can make a little bit of an argument for Houston. Unfortunately, Jamal Shedd got hurt, and that was the end of that. But UConn-Bama, the Bama story's been a fun one. Like, they play a very different style than UConn. They like to play up-tempo. They like to play fast. They've got a bunch of athletes. They like to shoot threes. Both teams are inside the top five in offensive efficiency, and that's why we've seen a total.
Now, where are they playing?
This is in Glendale. It's in Arizona.
Yeah, because you know what? Hurley played. I think they played the last game in his backyard.
Yes,
right?
they did.
I mean, my God, not his
Purdue did too.
Backyard. Boston. Then they played in. They've been playing. They haven't left. They've been taking buses.
They get the benefit. Yeah,
they get a ton of people. I think Purdue's going to beat them. End up beating them if they play them.
Do you?
Because everybody's talking about. I love the big guy from UConn.
Oh, my God. I mean, and what he did against Illinois, it's
Brad Underwood, here's what I would tell you. Your strategy should not be to drive towards the big man.
Or at some point adjust.
Adjust.
Do you know, did you hear the stat, Mike? I mean, on shots that Klingon contested, Illinois was 0-for-19 from the floor.
Yeah, I mean, you got Shannon, you got all, first of all, their outside shooting was suspect anyway, but I mean, my God. But here's what I'm saying. UConn, look at how they've shot the basketball from three.
Mm.
Badly. 3-for-17 in one game. I think they were 5-for-22 in another game. If they're off and they're playing the number one three-point shooting team, here's what I would say to the UConn center, and I love them. You ain't met nobody like Edie, ever. And you're even – who has he met this year that would compare to him? I think everybody's got like, UConn is the most well-rounded team. I think Purdue has been as good in this tournament, and they've done what they're supposed to do. They had a lot of pressure on them from the beginning because of last year.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
I mean, Edie's a different animal.
He's a different animal, he is. I mean, UConn's, it's impressive, though. Do you realize it's now 10 straight tournament wins all by double digits? I mean, that's incredible.
I'm not saying they're not impressive.
That's incredible, Mike. That's why I think both these teams, it'll be so fun.
It will be fun.
Monday night, if it is Purdue and UConn.
I'd have to take the dog, which will be Purdue.
Purdue's going to be the dog, and I think on one of the look-aheads, we saw like 4.5, 5. And I might like the dog
too. Now, here, the point spreads in both these games are high.
Well, and I was going to say, that so the Bama-UConn game, 161.5 is what we're looking at right now. Both teams, like I said, top five in offensive efficiency in the country. If it closes north of 160, that'll be the highest total, Mike, in a final four game in 15 years. So, yeah, you're right. You're in, you know, the total in the Purdue-NC State game is 146.5, and that's a pretty good number. You're all the way out to 161.5 right now in the UConn-Alabama game. And I think it's going to be... I think there's going to be a lot of scoring. Look, Alabama's not going to change the way it plays. No. They want to play fast. They're top 10 in possessions per game. UConn does not play a fast pace, but I think they can if need be. But I think they're going to be a lot of points.
If you were Alabama, who would you rather play, UConn or Purdue? I'd rather play UConn. Only because of this eating.
Yeah, I think you're right.
The outside shooting of Purdue. Everybody's overlooking these guys as far as their outside shooting prowess being number one. And that's because of the conflict of going down and trying to guard Edie 2-on-1, leaving certain people. But that's going to happen in this game, too. I know Hurley is just, he's such a savage coach.
He's good, man.
I mean, he is so good. And Painter, people still doubt him. People didn't even think Purdue would be here, probably, a lot of people. I picked him. I said it would be probably UConn and the Denver Nuggets as an NBA.
Mm-hmm. Your parlay there. Yeah.
But now I'm looking at Purdue, and people aren't giving them a chance. And yet, really, think about it. They're only underdogs by a basket each half, folks.
Yeah.
That's not a lot. Not a lot.
Should
what
be
do you
fun.
Think? Are they invincible, UConn? Or can he
I think you're right.
What happens if that big kid gets in foul trouble?
Then that changes things dramatically,
sure
I think,
does.
For them. Yeah.
And they have had trouble. If you look at their box scores, their outside shooting from three has not been overly impressive.
You know, I think I'm with you. If everything holds Saturday and UConn and Purdue advance and we look at an opening of 5 or 5.5, I think you grab
See,
Purdue.
I'm gonna take the All-American center who may be one of the top three centers in all time history. I'm gonna take a chance.
Yeah. I'm with you. Like back to back National Player of the Year. Sort of on a mission, and it's hard to repeat. I mean, and UConn's close. Look, but we haven't seen this since the early, you know, mid-2000s since Florida.
But UConn's got flaws. Like I said, look, they made, what did they do last game from the three? Nothing, and yet they were, but yet they were up by 17.
And they had a 30-0 run. It's
right.
Like, come on, man.
Well, Illinois was just, come on.
What happened? Oh,
I mean,
Mike,
my
what
God.
Happened?
Well, I think that not making your adjustments.
Yeah.
Shannon only being the only guy.
Mm.
Illinois just playing a much better team. But them driving at Edie, trying to get him in foul trouble when he doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to. He can step 2 feet away from you and put his hands up. I just think there was a bad game plan. I just couldn't understand what they were doing, but I think he knew he was overmatched, and he felt the only way to get him out is to maybe get the big guy in trouble, and it never transpired.
Mike mentioned the Nuggets in the NBA.
They lost, right?
They are right there with the Celtics.
I had the Clippers last night, plus 2. Oh, you know what I forgot to say to you?
What's that?
I got a new favorite for the East.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm. We've been all, everybody touting Boston. If Embiid stays healthy. I watched them against the Heat last night. They can beat Boston best of 7. I'm telling you right now. It wasn't just a one-game sample, but he looks healthy.
Okay.
They look fresh. Maxey went out of his mind last night.
Mm-hmm.
They got a pretty good they concentrate defensively. Embiid still takes too many threes, but I think if there's one team, because look, Boston may get it by everybody saying that it's nobody else is in that. The Greeks not... The Bucks are blowing big games.
Yeah, the Bucks haven't. I know.
I'm just telling you. I think if you had the, I think Embiid and Philadelphia can give Boston a pretty good tussle.
That would be awesome. I mean, I'll tell you, the Celtics have now clinched home court throughout the playoffs. They are the favorite at 2-1. I still don't know that I love it though. You know.
I mean, is Al Horford and. I mean, who's the other guy down there? Hartenstein or what? No, that's on the Knicks.
Yeah.
Who do they got underneath to stop Embiid? You know,
I mean, it's I want to.
Dino Roger back with them?
He's definitely not. I want to be on that with you. Like, can I? Do I think Philly can push them?
Well,
maybe you're
Rob,
right.
Rob
maybe you're right.
Up. How much are they worth to win the East right now? Philadelphia. I think that's the best bet out of all the teams.
Well, they're definitely, because they fall into six, because he's been out so long, you're definitely going to get a better price on that.
You're going to get a better price on him. He's back, and he's like playing preseason ball. Last night, he played well.
You know, I love Embiid. You know that. I mean, the Celtics
are... Oh, my God. I thought, I mean, it's just Thanksgiving with the guy. I mean,
the Celtics are in like, very rarefied air, though, in terms of just, like, how dominant they've been. Yeah, like, you know what, Mike? It's funny because I still don't love them. Like, you know, and not that you'd bet it to make money at 2-1 here anyway, but
anyway,
I still don't love it. Like, I kind of like taking a shot on the Nuggets or the Clippers still, you know, or maybe the Sixers,
God, yes.
You know?
Wait, the Philadelphia, first of all, what are they in our conference in the East?
Right. Yeah, you think the West? Yeah.
I don't think anybody could beat Denver. I don't care if the Clippers won by 2 last night. I don't care about that. I mean, they went off. I had them, and it was a nice bet. But you know, it was +4.
Mm-hmm.
I took a chance, but I don't see them ever winning the 7-game series against the Joker and stuff. I just don't. But it's hard, like you said, to repeat. It is.
And I'm trying to find an Eastern Conference price real quick if I can.
If you could find an Eastern comp, because I think you're not going to make no money on Boston.
No, you're not at all.
So
you're not.
Boston is at -140. The
okay,
Sixers,
so you're laying money,
+950.
+950.
That's
there
it.
You go, Mike.
That's all I'm saying. Put down $25.
I think I could get. I think I could get there with you on that. You're right.
Put down
$25, $50.
Yeah. And then you went $250 or whatever. It's not. It's couch change. I probably put $100 down to win $900 because nobody thinks they can do it. And yet I'm watching them last night, and I'm tired of the Jimmy Butler hype. Okay, I'm tired of the hair.
You know,
I'm tired of it.
But the crazy thing about Miami is, Mike, like...
I know, they come ready.
Right? Like, all of a sudden, the playoffs are going to roll around, and they're going to be a pain in the ass to deal with again. It's, you know, that's like just... That's the way they are.
I think the best thing that happened to Philadelphia was Harden leaving and Maxey being the man. I just think that Maxey has taken over. He's an all-star. And I think Embiid being healthy. And then you got other players on that team that fit in well. I love their coach, Nick...
Nick Nurse.
And I'll tell you another thing, folks. There's certain trends. Do you know that the Milwaukee Bucks, you know how Carmen always tells me, okay, we're tired of how you invented Jag Bag. Please give us something else to the table. Hey, in front of everybody, I go, okay, I'll come up with something. They were 17 over .500, the Bucks, and then they fired their coach and they're .500 with Doc Rivers.
Yeah, are they .500 with that? I mean, they've lost four. They've lost four of their last five, I think.
I got another one for you. You want to hear a baseball one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Teams that have started out 0-5 since really people kept track of this, since the playoffs started.
Teams that start 0-5.
0-5 have never listened to their record. The teams that have made the playoffs that started 0-5 are 3-90. Okay, so three times. The 74 Pirates. The 2010 Tampa Bay, and I forget who was.
3-90. Good luck to you.
So, in other words, if you
starting
start
0-5 is a death
like net. The Marlins, you're dead.
Right. Yeah. Marlins are 0-8.
Oh, my God.
Still don't have a Marlins, I think, are this only winless team. Is that right?
I think everybody else has a win
because the Mets got a win.
They got a right fielder that's afraid of the wall. I mean, I watched him yesterday. He's got alligator arms on two plays.
Playoff team last year, 0-8 this year.
Yeah. And by the way, the Mets are going to rue them getting rid of Buck Showalter. They're going to rue it.
Could be.
I mean, I'm watching them, and I know it's still early.
They're going to trade Alonso, I think, at some point, too.
Well,
yeah,
he had a big homer for them to win the game. I mean, for them yesterday in the second.
They're no
of the Detroit looks great.
Yeah, Detroit looks good. Picked Detroit to win that division. They look good. That's a bad
Art
division.
Howe actually, he's alive right now. He had to be so depressed the last 2 years. Hobby's actually got a little life in him. My God.
They can pitch. The Tigers can pitch.
Yep, they can.
All right, coming up next, we got Jim Miller and then best plays rolling into the weekend. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're coming right back inside the Odds Couple.
This is the Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN 1000.
Entering the home stretch on this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. It's Mike and Carmen with you, and it's time to get back out to the CarX Tire and Auto guest hotline and say hi to another weekly contributor. We love him. All he does is give out winners. Yep. And we got great racing action here at the hometown track at Hawthorne and around the country. So for some expert handicapping, we turn to the one and only Jim Miller.
Jimmy!
Boys, it was a fun week last week. We had a couple of winners. We had a bunch of derby preps last week. And you have the last string of derby preps this weekend. So three more 100-point preps. But guys, looking back at last week, things got a little intriguing on the racing end of things because Muth, the horse that we like from the barn of Bob Baffert, was able to win the Arkansas Derby. And now the owner's saying, hey, I'm going to go after Churchill. I want to get into the race this year. I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but they're making a little bit of headlines off that race.
Really? Like what would be, you know, what's the angle? What's the approach? How do they try to get that horse in, considering what Churchill has already said about the Baffert horses?
Yeah, they're trying to get kind of a stay of the temporary restraint, I guess, against the Bob Baffert horses. And I don't think they're going to be able to because basically, racetracks in the thoroughbred industry, you have a right of refusal for any type of entry for any type of reason. And this one's been very public.
Yeah.
So because of that, I think they're going to make that move. And I don't even know if it's as much as to try to make headlines as it is to get into that race. I think you're going to see Muth in the Preakness. And I think if Muth is in the Preakness, probably he'll be the favorite for that race, too.
Okay.
I don't think people don't. It's not like they hate Bob Baffert. I like him for what he's done for racing. But there's no doubt he's a distraction. But is he a distraction, like you said, in a good way? Where, okay, Baffert's coming to
at least he brings attention. Is that what you mean, Mike?
Eyes.
Yeah.
Here comes the guy with the sunglasses, right. The hot suit, walking with the hot lady,
right.
With the horse and the jockey. I mean, he puts a presentation on, the parade, down the paddock there. Is that, I think it's a good thing, Jimmy, don't you? In a way.
Well, and here's the thing. He probably is the most recognizable face in the sport.
Yes.
And like they say, sometimes any PR is good PR for any industry. And you look at something like this for the fact that it's the PR surrounding the fact that horses are running well and are deserving to be in the race. A lot of people are saying, okay, he served his time. He's back there. He's following the same rules as everybody else is. All his horses get tested just like anybody else does, yet he's not allowed to run in the race. So it seems like it's almost a battle of perception more than anything else. But I'll tell you, they're at the point now, too, where he's got so many good three-year-olds that even if they miss the Derby, he could be dominant throughout the remainder of the three-year-old season with multiple racehorses.
How much is he worth, Jimmy?
Mm.
How much? Because he can get
$100 million, at least.
Wow.
At least, right?
Really?
I mean, at least.
Because he not only he gets your horse.
I would not have guessed that. Wow.
He gets your horse laid. Yeah, you know. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, he gets
when you think about it, because you look at trainers, okay, you get a training rate every day. You're also going to get a percentage off the horse's earnings. The typical trainer gets about 10% off each of the horse's earnings. But then you look at the fact, all right, he's been in commercials. He's done advertising. Wow. He does, like you said, he gets these horses ready where these horses make such a great amount in the breeding shed that you work out deals for things along those lines as well. So he's worth a whole lot of money, but he does. He works hard. He's at the track each and every day. Works hard just like any other horseman in this industry.
Jeans? Does he wear the bib overalls and the whole thing? Does he walk around with the bucket?
He's a jeans guy in the barn in the morning. I can tell you that for
is
sure.
Is he? Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, Jimmy. So you said this is it. This is the last of the big preps. But I mean, the Derby's a month away for crying out loud. So here we go. What are we like this weekend? What are the big races this weekend to focus on?
I'll tell you, there's three Derby preps this weekend. They're all very good races. So we're going to start at Aqueduct, Race 10, which is the Wood Memorial. We'll bet the four, Deterministic, across the board. This one, 2-for-2 on its lifetime winner of the Gotham. Then go to Keeneland. Race 10 is the Bluegrass. This is our price play here. We're going to bet the one, Top Counter, across the board. This one, 15-to-1 in the morning line. Then go to Santa Anita, Race 10, the Santa Anita Derby. It is the Bob Baffert horse, the four Imagination. Think about it. This is like the number three or number four horse in a stable and will still probably be favored in the race.
All right, so these are big races because when I recognize, the Wood Memorial, the Bluegrass, it's, you know, these are big. All right, so here we go. Aqueduct, and these are, I think you said race 10 for all of these. Is that right, Jimmy?
Yes, all race 10. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Aqueduct on Saturday, the Wood Memorial, the 10th race, the four horse across the board. Then at beautiful Keeneland, which is just absolutely gorgeous in Lexington. The 10th race is the Bluegrass this weekend. We're going to bet the one across the board. And then at Santa Anita, the 10th race, the four horse again across the board. Is that right?
That's right, boys. After this weekend, we're going to know who's in the gate for the Derby and we'll see how things unfold.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you next week, Jimmy.
All right, guys. Good luck.
See you, buddy.
Jimmy!
There is the one and only Jim Miller. Yeah, we're a month away from the Derby.
Love bigger it. Than the horses. That's the way it is.
Yeah. No, you're right. All right, Mikey, what do we like rolling into the weekend for best plays?
Man, there's plenty of baseball action out there, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, that's right. The hit of the ball.
I love it.
The fans yelling, popcorn, popcorn. Or really, hot dogs, where you get a regular hot dog, not one with pierogies on it. That's just me.
Me too.
I don't get it. I don't understand the extravagance of things. I'm a guy that just needs a Coke and a hot dog. But I also need good baseball, ladies and gentlemen. And I got two picks in one game tonight.
Oh, nice.
I've been canceled, and I understand. When that podcast goes up, people need to listen. People need to drink it in. And that's why I'm taking a 7-10 game. I'm taking the Milwaukee Brewers. Oh, yeah. They're not playing bad baseball without the great Greg Conte.
No, not 4-1, yeah.
No,
a couple of rainouts, 4-1.
Seattle coming in. Seattle with the great Scott Service, who's known for petering out in August and September. Man, anybody can manage. But he's done a decent job. He's got some superstars there. Rodriguez, I'm having trouble getting off this night a little bit. Take Milwaukee with the money line minus the 123 as my first pick.
I like it. Milwaukee money line minus 123. Yep. Good pitching matchup tonight. Peralta against Gilbert. Peralta's been so good over the years at home. So
he's
good.
On and off sometimes.
Yeah,
on
he's
road.
So good at home, though. Yeah.
I like it. Just be good tonight.
I like That's it. All right, there you go. Brewers tonight on the money line. We talked about the Alabama-UConn game. Think it's going to be fun. I think Alabama plays an interesting, sort of very contrasting style, and I think they can keep it close in the first half. UConn looks like a runaway freight train when it's all said and done in most of these games. We told you they've won 10 straight tournament games now, all by double digits. They've won 11 straight overall. They're 10-1 against the spread in those games. But here's the play, I think. It's Bama in the first half. If you can get 7, that's wonderful. A lot of mostly 6.5s out there, though.
Nice.
We'll take Alabama
we'll
plus 6.5.
Six and a half, seven.
If you can find a 7,
unless
I think that's
it goes
great.
Down to 6.
Yeah, exactly. Then that's going to be too much. So we'll say 6.5, 7. Grab Bama in the first half in the night game tomorrow against UConn. That's the best play.
That's a beautiful one. Last but not least, this is the quandary I'm in. I take the Angels under. Yet I look at it and I get everything ready for the show today. That's right. I prepare, ladies and gentlemen. I'm up at 3 in the morning getting ready for this baby. Because we're giving you service that you don't have to. You just listen in.
That's right.
I'm going to take the Angels. Boston coming in with a little bit of a head of steam. Mm-hmm. I know Devers is playing well. They're hitting the baseball pretty good. Los Angeles with Trout. Right now, Ron Washington. Hocus pocus, dominocus.
Yeah.
Getting it done right now. I'm taking the Angels. Yeah, I've been on fire. I've been like 4-5-1 over the last 2 weeks. Now, I'm due for a fall, but I don't think it's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. I'm feeling like Ali and his
player. I like it.
I'm feeling like Bobby Hull, 1960. I'm feeling like, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like Mike Northen. Well, yesterday.
Yeah, so
I'm basically going Angels minus the
Go Angels. Home opener. I like it. Trout's hitting the crap out of it so far. Yep. So, yeah, let's do it. All right.
Let's
very good.
Got anything more?
That's it for me.
All right. Then you know what time it is. Well, he's a man that was mystifyingly gone last week, and people missed him. People.
They're like, where's Eric?
Where's Eric? It's time for Eric Gold's betting show. Eric?
All right. So I am going to just completely jump on the bandwagon of Caitlin Clark, and I'm trying to figure out what sort of play on hers I want to look at. So I was looking at her points, 33.5.
Yeah, it's high.
It's a high number.
It's high. That's
her
high.
Threes is 5.5. That also feels high,
she's
but feasible.
I like it.
My favorite one is the assist, 9.5.
Okay.
I think she gets 10 dimes easily.
Dude, she drops dimes. She's such a good passer.
It's so crazy. So I'm going to jump on that with 9.5 over assists.
So over 9.5 assists.
Uh-huh. Yep.
All right. I like it.
Yeah, all the haters out there. Joy Reid. What's wrong with you people? What's her name, Joy? On Fox and Molly. Leave her alone.
Please.
She's doing good, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Come on.
All right, there you go, folks. Great show today. Enjoy the Final Four. Thank you to Eric Ostrowski, as always, and thanks to Jim Miller and Luke Pergandy. And thanks, most importantly, for listening to the podcast and to the show. Hopefully, it's a great Final Four weekend. Rolling into a fun Monday night, and it'll be Masters time when we reconvene next week, and we'll get into a bunch of fun other stuff. But enjoy the Final Four, Mikey. Happy wagering, and we'll talk to everybody again next Friday.
So long, everybody.
This is The Odds Couple
on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.